Me and my good friend Dwayne.
Yeah.
D-Wade, Hall of Famer.
D-Wade's awesome.
He's into yoga now, right? But the first time that I took him to yoga, I was explaining to him that, like, it's going to challenge you because it's you versus you.
Yeah.
And at one point, I looked over at him and I seen him he was eyeing the door.
He wanted to leave.
He wanted to leave, but I was looking and I was like, I know. But this is how his inner channel, because he's failed so much to become successful, right? You know, we went and had coffee after, and he was sharing the moment, and he knows this. He was like, it took everything in me to not negotiate with myself. Because he was like, I got to go to the restroom. Maybe I got to get some water. Think about all the excuses that you can come up with to get out.
Yep.
But he didn't. And
that's what makes him him.
That is a fierce desire inside of you. And we all have it in us until we put in the situation. We don't know that we have it. So that's why failing is very important. And that's why the show is so important.
So it brings me to that saying, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention.
Yeah.
And I was just reading articles about some of the biggest breakthroughs we've had, whether it's in like science or medicine or tech. It comes from, they call it necessity. I call it like you say, what are your options? It's almost like a desperation of some sort, but a desperation of not like, oh my God, I don't know what to do, but a desperation of like, I got to figure this out. I got no other choice but to figure it out.
And
that leads to not, it's impossible, but that leads to like, we got to change it.
That's why you hear a lot of guys' stories and women's stories in Hollywood of like being homeless, right? Being homeless is like a figure piece. People lock in on that.
Yep.
But to be honest with you, they didn't have no more options.
Yep.
And they really crafted. They really was driven. Everything was gone. They had no more options. Go home.
Yeah.
Go back to where you came from.
And only then,
the story. So you watch all these people that are successful, and they're like, yeah, I was homeless. And people are like, man, they were homeless. But what transpired in being homeless? He had no options.
What got him there? What was he thinking?
And that's how the director that you gave the second chance to.
Same thing.
You not only gave him an open door, you gave him a platform, and he just said, I'm out of here. Boom.
So, you know, something that we were just talking about, kind of going down this path, you know, you obviously are known, not just known, you are the guy in basketball, and not just the NBA, but I think as we're getting into, in all basketball, because there's a lot more than just NBA, right? And I think it's opening up more and more and more. You know, there's more jobs for basketball players internationally than there is domestic.
Absolutely.
And there's plenty of money, and it ain't like, you know, I hate to say it, but it ain't like the playing in the minor leagues baseball.
No.
You're actually, you go make real money.
You can make real money.
And it's a great gig.
Yeah, some of my international players play in Barcelona.
So, you get to live in Barcelona. Oh, no, I have to live in Barcelona.
Greece. I got players that are playing in places that, you know, when you're in Turkey, in certain parts of Turkey, and, you know, in Australia. And, you know, the Australian League is played during their summertime. So right now it's summer in Australia. It's winter here.
It's summer there.
Summer there. People don't know this. Oh, man, you got to go to Australia. And the guy like, yeah, I got to go. Don't come over.
The best weather ever.
It's the best weather ever. And, you know, in Japan and China, you know, I have the MVP of the Chinese Basketball League, Eric Moreland, for the last 2 years. He's MVP and they won the championship. And
China basketball is as big as U.S. now. It just took off, right?
It did very well. Europe to me is still one notch under the NBA.
Yep.
They teach the game very well. They play very well. When I was on the flight coming back from Dubai, I actually watched an international game, and man, it was so good to watch. And I seen in the game, it was 8 players that had all been drafted in the NBA. All been drafted.
So they're literally basically catching up quickly.
Yes. And the crowd play, the jumping up and down and the interactions. And, you know, so now with streaming and everything, you get a more of an inside look of international.
So you think it's Europe? Do you think it goes U.S., Europe? Is China after that, or is there thing?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's Europe, China, Australia, Japan. And then you have other places like Puerto Rico is taking off with the 3-month league.
Yep.
And so with the 3-month league is right between, so you can actually play in the other leagues and
right,
still come
in the
you don't
have
to be in the one league.
So we bought Fight TV 2 years ago, and we made a deal with Cube, and we were doing the Big Three.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so we did that for a year, which was a lot of fun. I mean, listen, that's hard to put together.
It is hard to put together.
Did you work with them at all?
Well, I was talking with his son a little bit, and a lot of the players, so you have players that didn't know they was retired. Okay, let me explain that.
Yeah.
Like, that means they didn't get picked up, and they're like, I'm just going to wait, and then a year go by, you don't get picked up again. There's no celebration at the end.
Nope.
And so these are the guys.
There's no retirement party.
Only two or three guys I know for sure, and we talk about it. Kobe had one.
Yep.
Dwayne had one. Shaq didn't get one.
He didn't?
No. It's only going to be a few other guys else.
Wow. So Kareem.
I think Tim Duncan had the farewell.
Yeah.
And I think they gave Dirk a little bit of one. You know, but most of the guys I deal with and work with for years, they're retired without even knowing they're retired. That transitional period.
So that's, you know, before we move, go to, I know I'm interrupting my own question, but that's really interesting about failure, because so you got guys, and like I said, I feel like for a minute in time, I kind of felt what they felt, you know, for their whole careers. But they're on top of their game. They're everywhere they go, they're the best, you know. They're defined by basketball. They're defined by not just basketball, but they're almost like an actor, right? They're defined by the character they made themselves in basketball.
On the court.
And even they might not be that person off the court, but they kind of, as you said, unless they pivot, they kind of get stuck in that character.
Yeah, you got to detach.
But then they wake up and they don't know they're retired. And
they don't even know.
They have to hit this realization that like their entire life, which has been basketball up until that point in time, right? Like, you can't be one of the 60 without having dedicated your life to that, right? And defined yourself
and
by
defined it. And defined
it. At least for a period of time.
A long period of time.
And now you wake up and you're not that guy anymore. Yeah. And what happens? Like you see that. That's failure, right?
That's failure. And it's failure that can lead to depression, substance abuse. It can send you into a spiral, right? It can really mess you up. Unless you've worked on your pivot. Here's some things that we can educate and give athletes that are young, that are watching this. We can give them some advice that they can take, right?
That's what I was gonna ask you.
Stop turning down meetings. Stop turning down the opportunity to shake hands while you could put your jersey on. There's so many business opportunities that are presented to people that are making really good money, and they wake up and say, I don't want to do it. I ain't looking at the bank account. I got enough money. Why would I do this? Why would I meet this person? Why would I go to dinner with this person? Because when the ball stopped bouncing, you can't get that meeting anymore. If the football stopped throwing, the baseball, you look at every sport. When you cannot put that jersey on no more, those doors and those opportunities that you had, they're closed. You can no longer get that phone call that you can get when you put that jersey on, because people want to meet the character.
Yep.
So my advice to young athletes in all sports, young actors, actresses, whatever you're doing that's pushing forward, take every meeting, treat everyone with respect, treat everyone with dignity, take it and be pure and enjoy the process. Because at the end, you're going to be faced with people not taking your phone calls, and you will not be able to pivot because you didn't answer their phone calls when they were calling you.
That is not just in basketball.
That's in everything.
I could tell you that the calls and meetings I could get when I was running the studio, they changed a lot when I wasn't running the studio. You know, guys that were my dear friends, of course, loved me so much, right?
And if you didn't know how to handle that. I talk to guys all the time, like, they calling me, hey, Chris, listen, I know you know such and such.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you made $250 million.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, you realize that money's not everything. Resource is not everything. Having access.
Access is more, it's very important. And it's funny because I make a joke. So when I, you know, I had that 2-year period or year and a half period where I was like, you know, I was the pariah because the press said so. And then I got the studio back, right? And people started calling again. And I'd make this, even to this day, you know, once I did Triller and you know, I did the Tyson fight and things, people I hadn't talked to in forever that called themselves my friends, I'd get a phone call. You know, they'd be like, hey, how you been? I'd be like, I've been great. I was trying to reach you. I was like, oh, you must have had my old number. Yeah, I was like, I haven't changed since I was 18. And they just go quiet.
Boom. Like, I say that all the time. People see me. I could be in the airport. And it's like, Chris, I was trying to reach you. I was like, and I hit, if you with me, I was like, yeah, they're finna lie. Because my number is the same number since I was in college.
Me too.
I have the same number.
And by the way, you can't forget my number.
Like, my number, you can't forget
it. It's only got 2 digits.
And so people, when they say, man, I've been trying to get a hold of you on social media, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
No, I got the same phone number. So that means that I'm accessible and I want to work with everyone.
See, that's, I learned the lesson the hard way, but I also learned the lesson the hard way because I didn't practice what you were saying. I mean, I was young, not an excuse, but I'm 26 years old being told, you're the king of the world, you control Hollywood. And so I didn't take all the meetings and I didn't take all the phone calls. And there's a lot of people that I didn't return the call. And so I don't blame those people today. I don't blame if they're like, fuck him.
Right.
You know, he didn't give me the time of day when he was there, fuck him. They have every right to say that.
Absolutely.
But the people who I was working with day in, day out that I gave their first director job to or act or whatever, they like disappeared and then showed back up and then they pretend like they're trying to reach me. I'm just like, nah, man, I'm not playing that game. But
that's good advice for the younger people.
You got to just know, surround yourself with the people. Like, loyalty is really important, right?
It is.
And the older I get, the more I realize the less friends I actually have.
Absolutely.
It's not the less people are around. But I realized what is a friend, right? Yeah. Like, and who do I want to be around? I don't need someone around that's just telling me what I want to hear, because maybe they think they're going to get something or they meet someone they want to meet. No, like a friend is a person who's actually going to tell you what you don't want to hear.
Absolutely.
But you like them around because they love you, you love them, and they don't need anything from you, and you don't need anything from them.
That's when the doors really open.
Yeah.
When I don't need nothing from anyone. So when I go into the room, I go into the room expecting nothing. So when I go into meetings, when I go into places, my expectation for other people, I don't have any.
Right.
I'm really open-minded to it. My expectations for myself are very high. The way I carry myself, my presentation, the way, you know, I want to be in a position where people can speak about me when I leave the room. And that is so important about how you carry your name and those things. And that's how I got to where I am. I know we was talking about the MVP.
Yeah, so that's exactly where I wanted to go, is MVP, yeah. your motto, your training, your, you know, and I think this is so pertinent. I know you use it for players, but it seems like it would be more pertinent to the players who just are figuring out they're retired, they didn't know they were retired, mm-hmm. than the players who were in the game. And it would be more important to the people watching this who are trying to figure out their next step in life.
Absolutely.
Or maybe they just failed at something, whether it's they didn't get the job they wanted or the school they wanted to get into, or it could be basketball, it could be sport.
It could be anything.
Whatever they perceive they failed. And you have a program that you're launching, that like I didn't even realize I lived by, but when you explained it, I'm like, oh, I live by that. Yeah. Tell us about MVP.
So MVP is meditation, visualization, and positive self-talk. You know, it takes at least 5 minutes a day. It could be longer depending on how much time you have, but it takes about 2 minutes a day to meditate. Meditation can be open eye meditation or it can be closed eye meditation. So you can literally be driving in your car and you can be meditating, working on your breath work and breathing.
Before we go to the V, maybe you can give the audience, for those people who might not have learned meditation, I'm lucky that I had a teacher. Actually, we'll talk about it. My teacher was one of the Maharishi's disciples, which is awesome. I have him, Tom Knoll. You'll love him. But as I said, like a lot of people either don't have the patience to listen to something for 8 hours or a teacher or go to the David Lynch Fund or whatever it is, right? What do you What's your advice to those people? How do they learn to just meditate for 2 minutes when they're driving? What's the best method, or do you have a method?
I do. And I use sports always as an analogy because I feel like everyone around the world at some point has been a part of a sport, right? I call it mental timeouts, okay? A mental timeout, and let's use a basketball game because I'm a basketball expert.
And most people understand basketball too.
It's easy. In basketball, you have different types of timeouts. You have a quick timeout, 30 seconds, right? You have a full timeout, a minute or so. You have a TV timeout, media timeout, mm-hmm. right? That's about a minute and 30, right? At the end of each quarter, you have a timeout. At the halftime, there's a timeout. Now with the NBA, they're able to challenge plays. So that's another timeout.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if I really want to manipulate the game, I can call a timeout, go in and next play and challenge it and get another timeout.
And make your timeout longer.
To give this guy rest.
Yeah.
If you notice, those timeouts all had different types of time frames.
Yeah.
Right? So in meditation, your meditation doesn't have to be long. When I didn't understand meditation, I thought meditation was something else. And I was like, what? Meditation is really just being mindful of where you are and who you are and just really clearing your mind. It's so simple to meditate, but taking a mental timeout, and I'll go into more of that and after I finish the MVP, is it can happen in your car.
Yep.
So I could pull up at home and I've had a 16-hour work day and I want to be ready for the kids. I'm going to practice MVP. I'm going to meditate in the car about 2 minutes.
See, meditate,
visualize. So now, like before I got here, I lost my phone call right when I got on the hill. I was in a phone call with a company that's trying to create a partnership. I wanted to be prepared, so I started practicing my MVP. I was visualizing sitting here, visualizing walking through the door, engaging with people. I only took 2 minutes, and the guy pulled up behind me. He was looking in the car, but I couldn't even really pay attention, even though I could see him in my peripheral, because I was visualizing how I would be today, right now, on the podcast.